Appreciate so much Brother Patterson again being out here for his 24th year. Hallelujah. That's my cup.
That's your cup.
All right. Lord bless you tonight, my brother.
Thank you, preacher.
Appreciate that.
Thank you, Dave.
I think we made Brother Mike climb too many stairs this weekend.
Well, I don't know. I did all right. The way I was laying on that bed, I think, this afternoon, I was trying to get a nap and didn't get one. And I woke up and I stood up and I almost fell down. I said, I don't need that in here, amen. I fell on that floor last year. That's a hard floor up there, amen. Let me tell you. Well, the Lord is good, and it is good to be here again tonight. And I was digging through my archives today and just seeking what the Lord would have me to preach. A lot of times when I come, I already have a plan in my mind what I want to do or where I want to go. But this year I didn't do that. So every day I've just been asking the Lord and seeking what He'd have me to do this year. And so I'd like to be over in the book of 1 Peter in chapter 4 this afternoon, or this evening now. 1 Peter in chapter 4. I'll give you a moment to get there. 1 Peter in chapter 4. My wife again last night, as I was talking to her, actually this morning, she said, make sure you tell everybody I said hello again. And I did not tell her yet that if I don't make it, that she's going to come out here and preach for me. So, but I'll tell her that tonight, Chris, because that's what you said. So I'm just saying, you know. And that's because she writes all my messages, amen. So somebody's got to do it if I can't do it. You know, my son, he is a character, but that boy at 18 years old, he can preach. I'm not kidding you. Just felt that God had called him in that direction. But he wrote a message one time about the mules in the Bible, and I was impressed, so impressed. I said, I want them notes because I want to go over them and write a message on that. He wouldn't give them to me because he said, you're not stealing like my message like you do other people's messages, amen. So I never did get them, amen, like I say. I wish I had them. But this message here, I don't know. I don't think if I did preach this before, it's been a long time ago, but I can't find it in my notes anywhere. No, I haven't. In 1 Peter chapter 4. Wow. Look at that.
I mean, you could have been with the old Bible. I had to get rid of the old Bible.
But I'm just wondering, am I impressing you?
Yes, you are.
All right, that's a good thing.
Your wife is impressive.
Yes. I'll tell her that. I'll make sure I tell her tonight, amen. Well, 1 Peter chapter 4 with me. And as I, let me just read a couple of verses to you. I want to begin reading in verse 12. And I'm going to go down through verse 12 through 19. The Bible says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. I'm looking forward to that day, preacher, amen. And I'll have exceeding joy when he appears. I can't wait for that to happen. But he says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Well, I don't know about you, but man, when I'm going through it, I'm not very happy, amen. I'm not a happy camper, you know. And but he says, if you reproach for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer. Boy, there's a thousand things. We just put those three words right there. But he goes on a little bit farther. Or as a busybody in other men's matters. Amen. And we always say that women gossip. Listen to me. Men gossip just as bad as women do. Amen. We do. I'm not kidding you. And if we're not careful, if not, we become busybodies in other men's matters. And we need to be so careful with that. Even with church members, that we don't become a busybody in their matters, amen. If they're living wicked, living ungodly, then we have a right and an ability to be able to tell them what they're doing is wrong, that they might get it straight, that they might serve God, that they might do right, amen. But he says, don't be an evildoer or a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, Wow. But let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin with us, what shall the end? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, can I tell you that I'm not scarcely saved? Amen. I am saved, and I know it. But I understand what he's saying when he makes this statement. If they scarcely be saved, they're doing these things. Look, boy, he said, listen, if they're scarcely saved, then where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. I'd like to look at this text down through here tonight for a few moments with you. I don't know if we'll get through all this tonight. I'd like to, but I see what time it is. And I know how I used to preach, Pastor, it'd be an hour and a half, and I still wanted to go, like the Energizer Bunny. And now I see just about 8 o'clock coming up, and I'm ready to lay down and take a nap, amen? We could stay longer, then I could wake up and come up and finish preaching, amen? But So I've cut my stuff back quite a bit anymore, and I appreciate getting me on early like you do, Pastor. That way I can chatter and yap and shoot off my mouth and still have time to preach, amen. But number one, if you're looking with me, let's look at verse 12 and 14a. He says this again: Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Verse 14a: If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, let me just stop right there. Number one is this: reproach for Christ. I don't think we understand in our country yet what it means to be reproached for Christ. Amen. Now, Pastor, guarantee. I know. I've heard it happen. Some individuals who are just nasty and mean towards Christians. I know of a situation where a Christian was in there was a parade going on, and myself, I don't think probably he should have been in that parade or that area where that parade was going on. And they had signs up, holding them up about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I don't want nothing to do with the Mardi Gras New Orleans, amen. It's wicked, man. I mean, it's terrible. It's ungodly. But this guy come up to him and took a cigarette and took it and put it out on his chest while he's standing there. And I'm thinking, you know, the guy just twisted it and put it out and let it drop to the ground. And I said, well, what did the guy do? And the other guy told me, he said, he didn't do anything. He said, Jesus loves you. I, on the other hand, I want to tell you, Pastor, I would not have stood there. I know me, and back in that day, going back 25, 30 years ago, I would have knocked the guy out. I would have cold cocked him, and somebody said, well, you can go to jail. Been there, amen. I'll get out sooner or later, hallelujah, but I'd knock him out. You ain't going to do that to me. Boy, I tell you what, that's stupid stuff, amen. But for you and I to be reproached, we don't understand what it really means. We might see something like that happen and lose our cool or something. Somebody might come up I know a guy one time, he was giving the gospel, the guy smacked him in the face. So, you know, what did he do? Nothing. He just went on giving the gospel, you know. What's the Bible say? Turn the other cheek, and that's how I looked at it. But according to the Bible, when you read that and say that text out, that's not dealing with somebody just comes up and slaps you, amen. That's when you've created offense against them. And then he said, turn the other cheek, amen. And somebody said, well, when you turn the other cheek, he didn't say what to do after that. He said, well, he told Peter to forgive 70 times 7, amen. So I think let's apply it all to us. He says, as though in part B of verse 14, he says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of the glory and of God, for the spirit of glory and of God, rests upon you. In their part, he is even spoken on, but your part, he is glorified. Don't think as something strange has happened to you, amen, as you get reproached. If somebody makes fun of you, somebody laughs at you, somebody spits at you, somebody takes a track and crumbs it up and throws it back in your face, somebody slams a door on you, and you might be standing there at the door, and you might slam that door and hit you in the side of the head with that screen door. I've been almost close there. I said years ago in Maine, I was out knocking doors with a bunch of teenager pastors, and I said, I have never yet, and I'm going back 15 years ago, probably maybe 20 years ago. I said, I have never yet, in the United States of America, I have never yet had anybody slam a door in my face. And the bus director looked at me, he said, you ain't been in Maine long enough. The very next door, God shut my mouth, amen. And I think he called his neighbor, because the very next door after that, I got to slam him in the face again, amen. But I wasn't reproached. Get out of here, and slam the door, amen. We don't really understand. I realize Peter is talking, if we go back, let's go back to chapter 1 just for a moment, and you know this because you've been in your Bibles, and you studied your Bibles, and you've read your Bibles, but he makes a statement in verse 1, he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. We know he's speaking to those Jews that were saved by the very grace of God that are now in Roman-occupied territory. That's what he's doing. Right? He's in Roman-occupied territory. He said, don't think it's strange that something happened to you. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, there hath no temptation taken you. Amen? That is not common that taken you, excuse me, such as common to man, but God is faithful who will not suffer you beyond that you're able. Amen. He said you're going to be all right. But will with that temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. There's not any temptation that comes your way that you have to give into. Not one. We don't have to give in to temptation, Pastor. What we have to do is give in to God. Amen. And when that temptation begins to come, we just need to turn back. Open your Bible up. Start reading your Bible. Amen. That temptation comes. You say, well, I don't take my Bible where with me. Well, maybe you should. Start doing it. Keep it in your car. Keep it in. Keep an extra one somewhere, you know. And keep your Bible with you. I tell you, that's what helps me. And you say, Brother Mike, temptation comes your way. Temptation comes my way all the time, just like you. Amen. And so I just go back to the Word of God. Go back to the Word of God. Go back to the Word of God. And Jesus Christ was tempted. Was he not tempted? Amen. Three times we see where he was under temptation, and he, every time would he say, as it is written, as it is written, as it is what? Written. Three times. So what's that mean? The Word of God is what will help us when we begin to go through some kind of temptation in our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. That's what we need. That's what I need, and that's what you need. In Hebrews chapter 4, I think it's verse 14 or 16 down in that area, it says this, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, without what? Without what? Without sin. Amen. Without sin. He was tempted, just like you and I were tempted, but without sin. And every time he went back to the Lord, every time he went back to God, every time he went back to the Word of God. And who was the author of the Word of God? Jesus Christ, God himself. Amen. Was the author of the Word of God. Though our trials be hard, they are designed only to try, not, listen, to try you, not to ruin you. God's intent is never to ruin you. He doesn't want, he will never ruin your Christianity when you serve him and follow him. Trials are used to show our sincerity, our strength, our patience, with our trust in God. Our trials are used to build us in our faith to God, not tear us down in our faith to God. But so many people give up. So many people go through a difficult time and a hardship, and they throw in the towel, they quit. And don't want nothing to do with God anymore. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. God let me down. God let me. No, my friend, God didn't let you down. Amen. He didn't let you down. You let him down in your Christian walk, in your life. We see as we look down through the scriptures here, not by the title of this message, by the way, is glorifying Christ's name. Let's glorify his name. That's what the title of the message is. Verse 14, he says, if ye be reproached for that, for the name of Christ, if ye be, look at verse 14 with me in our text. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Wow. Happy are ye. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Right? That's a tough verse there, amen. Because I know I'm saved. And I know sometimes, Pastor, when I've suffered, I haven't done right, and I haven't been obedient to God in my Christian life. But he has never forsaken me, never left me. I might feel like he has because I'm not where I should be with him, amen. But he's never left me. I just wonder, when we talk about denying him, what that means to you and to me, to deny him. I think part of that is when you have an opportunity to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ, you better do it. Don't deny him. This is what Jesus did for me. That drives people nuts sometimes, amen. Let me share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, I don't have time right now, amen. Let me give you a track. This track will tell you how you can get saved, go to heaven when you die, and you don't have to live in wicked sin anymore in your life. Amen. Sometimes I take a little bit farther, and sometimes I take too far, so I want to be careful. But I'm just simply saying that we need to make sure that the gospel gets out there into this lost, sin-sick, dying world. He says in verse 13 again. Go back to verse 13 of our text. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. So I wrote down here, rejoice in trials. Rejoice in trials. Pastor has been doing a great job this week talking to these fellows who are going through a difficult time. And I've listened to him on the phone. I listened to him when we went to see Brother Steve, what's his last name? Yeah. Marco. Yeah, when we went to see him at the hospital yesterday, and he does a great job when he just says, you know, you need to think on this, and you need to praise God. Just catch yourself. No matter what you're feeling, praise God, and that will help you tremendously. Just praise God. Give Him thanks for what's going on in your life. Amen. You say, I can't do that, Mike. Well, then you have a problem. If you can't do that, then you will have a problem. Because it very plainly, verse 13 again tells you and I, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. As much, man, he has suffered, and as much as you can suffer, and as much as you can, rejoice. Give him thanksgiving. Praise his holy name. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into it. Watch. When you count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, different trials, different things come your way. Amen. Temptation is not always some sin that's jumping right up in front of you. It's a trial, a difficulty, a hardship maybe. So he says, for you and me, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. When this happens to you, count it all joy. Joy, joy, joy. I've got this joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Do you? Amen. We ought to have. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1 with me. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And look over there with me, if you would, for just a moment. Chapter 1. And I want you to just look at a verse of Scripture with me here. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to go down to verse 6 and verse 7, I believe, is where I want to be. He said, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That idea, again, is the trials, the difficulties, the hardships. That the trial, here you go, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. Boy, rejoice. No matter what's going on, rejoice. Rejoice in Him. Let Him have His way. Let Him have His will in your heart and your life. He says in James chapter 1, verse 2 again, my brethren, count it all joy. All joy. Not just one or two things, but count it all joy. Anything that you're going through, count it joy unto Him. I like the course, It Is Worth It All, when we see Jesus. He says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Amen. Till we see Christ. The goal there is not to quit when things get better or when things get harder. The goal is to continue to praise His name, lift Him up, and give and count it worthy of all Him, Jesus Christ. We see revealing of His glory in Romans chapter 8. Go to Romans chapter 8 with me just for a moment, please. Romans, the book of Romans in the 8th chapter. No, we're in Romans in chapter 8. See if I got these verses right. I believe I do. Down in verse 17, he makes this statement, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer, that we suffer with him, that we might be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He said all the suffering can't even compare to the glory that's going to be revealed in you through Jesus Christ at his coming. Amen. I tell you, what a God we have. I get to thinking in verse 4 of the text, when Christ, who in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Amen. When he appears, we're going to appear with him in glory. I'm looking forward to that day. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I don't know about you, but I think we need to all take that to heart. I need to take that to heart. I need to make sure that I'm where God wants me to be as his child. Next we see resting in the Spirit. Resting in the Spirit. Look at verse 14 again, back in our text. He says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. If it's resting upon me, then I should be resting in him. Amen. He's the Spirit of God. He is God in the flesh. God manifested through the Holy Spirit. God manifested through the Son. God manifested as the Father. Man, I tell you what, we need to be careful how we praise and thank God for what he has done. I'm not into all this. I like when you talk about high-sounding cymbals and dance, pastor, you know. Yeah. They misinterpret that scripture so terribly. It's pathetic. I remember back in the mid-80s, I was pastoring a church. My wife was cleaning houses up in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, where she cleaned for the Lutheran pastor and his wife at their house. And he was an author. He wrote a bunch of stuff, but he had a picture on the wall. I'll never forget. They had a picture on the wall with a bunch of teenagers dancing around and throwing their hands up like this, but dance. You could tell they were dancing, and it said, "Dance before the Lord." And that they had nothing. They had no idea. No idea what that means. Amen. I might get happy, but my feet don't move. Let me tell you. Amen. I can't. I'm not a dancer, but I'm just saying. We need to be so careful, resting in the Spirit. And that he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath, given us. He's given us that Spirit. He's given you the Spirit. He's given me the Spirit. So why can't I rest in him? Why when I'm going through difficulties, it's harder for me to come to him again rather than when I should just go when it starts. Amen. You ever been there? You wait. And maybe if we would just go and do it as soon as we find out, preacher, make all the difference in the world. And you say, well, it might not change the situation, Mike. You're right. It might not change the situation because it's God's will that you're seeking, but you're going to praise him because of his will in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise right when you believed. After you believed at that moment, amen. I believed, bang, there goes. I got the Spirit, amen. I didn't go happy dancing, didn't go happy cymbals, didn't go happy anything else, but I got right with God in my heart because I was saved by his very wonderful grace. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. What? My right you sealed when? Until the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. You say, how do you grieve the Spirit of God? Well, number one, you don't listen to him. Number two, you do things you think will glorify the Spirit, and it doesn't. Amen? Things that people are doing today. They say, this is, praise God, Holy Spirit, it doesn't do anything. That's not praising God. That's not worshiping God. By the way, in the scriptures, I won't preach on this week, but maybe next year if I get to come back again. But in the scriptures, I don't see anywhere, Pastor, at least I've never found it. Maybe you can help me with this, but I don't think I've seen anywhere where we are to worship the Holy Spirit. We are to worship God the Father, and we are to worship Jesus Christ the Son. And how do we do that? Through the Holy Spirit of God. By the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? He gives us the ability to do it. But I've never seen a scripture anywhere. But we are to look, try to look it up. You won't find it. You can't. You will not find a place where it says that we need to worship the Holy Spirit of God. But you see in places where they fell down before Jesus' feet and worshiped Him. Amen? You see where they stood in the temple and they worshiped God. But you never see in the scripture that they worshiped the Holy Spirit. Wow. That amazes me. All these parts of the Trinity. And if somebody praised me, I guess it wouldn't bother me, Pastor. I'm not going to. But I think sometimes they put too much emphasis on that than they do on Jesus Christ the Son and God the Father. He says, after in Ephesians 1:13, in whom also you trusted after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, Ephesians 4:30, that was, grieve not the Spirit of God. And now, look, let me read this to you. I wrote this down. The reason that we can't always rest in the Spirit of God is because our hearts are not right with God. They're not right with God. And that is usually caused because we are not obedient to God's word. Go back later on. I want you to read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. Just read that later on, verse 31 and 32. Revealing, we see in number 4, the next thought I have is revealing who you are. Life in Christ or in the world? But who are you? Life in Christ or in the world? Go to 2 Timothy. And go back with me to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to begin reading down in verse 10 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. We see this. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Well, we see that today, don't we? We sure see that today. But continue thou, look, here's talking to the believer, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. Well, I think that we can apply that personally. The things you have learned, don't go back and remember, go back and do, go back and accomplish, don't give up, don't quit, don't stop, but do what God would have you to do as a believer in Jesus Christ. Let Him have His way, let Him have His will accomplished in you. He says in verse 11, afflictions which come unto me at Antioch and Iconium, Lystra, and persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You ain't got a choice. Might as well get used to it. Might as well rejoice. Might as well praise God for it, amen, because it's coming. If it hasn't already come, it's coming. You will go through some things sometimes. You just need to trust God. Walk with Him. Believe Him. Well, we also see revealing who you are. That's revealing. That right there is a revealing who you are. Number 5, restitution will be made. Even though afflictions and trials seem to begin with the Christian, when we read it in the Scriptures, we understand the unsaved gets it too, amen. They will have their trials and difficulties. The sinner will not escape the judgment of God. Now, I take hope in that. I really do. That the sinner, those who stand against the things of God, they're not going to come out on top. They've already lost the battle, but they don't know it. They don't understand that. But they've already lost the battle. Go to Revelation in chapter 20 with me. Revelation in chapter 20. And I know that you know these scriptures. I know your pastor has preached on them. I've preached on them here before. But he's in Revelation chapter 20, beginning, if you would, with me, down to verse 11. He says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Now, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. That's just a respite from hell for a little bit, amen. They're, you know what they're going to see? They're going to see what glory is like, Pastor. They will see what glory is like. So he said, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, in verse 13. And the dead which were in death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life. That's the Lamb's book of life. Amen. That's the Lamb's book of life. I can't read it any other way than what it says in the scripture. Of life was cast into the lake of fire. They're not saved. They're going to eternal damnation forever. Second death, the Bible calls it. The second death. And then we need to rely on God. Go back to the text with me if you would. And I want to go down to verse 19 real quick. The text down to verse 19 where the Bible says that, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. As unto a faithful Creator. In Psalm chapter 37, verse 5 and 7, the Bible says this, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. And He shall bring it to pass. Rest in the Lord. Now, I don't know about you. I don't sleep good sometimes at night. And I don't get the rest I need to get. But it's not because I'm not close to the Lord. It's because I hurt. Amen. All the time anymore. And I have a hard time sleeping, Pastor. Your bed is very comfortable up there. But, you know, tonight I'm going to have to get up 20 times to go to the bathroom. So don't let me wake you up. I'm just saying, I took that pill today and it cuts loose. Well, look out when you take an extra pill sometimes. He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Wait patiently. No matter what you're going through, just wait on the Lord. You might not see the answer to your prayer until down the road sometime. But just wait on the Lord. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't let what he does upset the apple cart for you. Don't let it stop you from doing what you need to do as a believer in Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that what? Promise. He is faithful that promised. Hebrews 11:11. Through faith, I love that chapter 11 because the hall of faith, amen. Man, there's something that I preach at sometimes. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Through faith. And was delivered of a child when she was past age because what? She judged him faithful who had promised. Wow. Hadn't God made some promises to me and you? One of the promises He made to us is that if we just hang in there, He'll meet our needs. He'll take care of us. It might get pretty rough. I mean, it might come down to the bare bones of things sometimes. It might come to the point that if you're handing on a gospel tract, you might have to go to jail. Amen? Because people don't like that. And they don't. And if you're a Christian living right, they don't like you. People don't like you. They love the world, and they love the acts of the devil. They love to follow his leadership in their lives, and they don't want nothing to do or anything to do with God. Man, how sad! But that's the world we live in, is it not? That's the world we live in. Until that time, listen to me, when you're going through these trials and difficulties and hardships, and everybody in here has been through some. Everybody in here has been through some. I know that. Amen. So, but when you're going through them, don't give in. Stand up. When Pastor maybe says on Sunday morning, he's got a testimony. I praise God because this is what's happening. I just thank God for what He's done in my life. And I know He will see me through it. Amen. Might not be until you are on your deathbed. But you'll see it. I really believe you'll see it. God will never give you more. He promised that to us. He will never give you more than you can handle. So, for you and I then, as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to glorify Him as the children of God. We need to glorify God. We need to come to Him, give Him praises, glorify His precious name, glorify who He is, glorify what He has done, and not be afraid to talk about Him. I tell you what, my friend, we got to be a bold witness. There was a time in our country when churches were a bold witness. Bold witness. When a pastor would say we're going to have visitation, just about everybody in the church would show up. Amen? I'm just saying, I remember those days. I remember those days. And then I remember the days when it started to go the other way. It started to dwindle down, and we started to change things because people didn't want to go on visitation anymore. Some people can't. I can't walk from here to the corner without having chest pains or tightness in my chest. I have to take a nitro tablet. I would never get... I'd drop over dead of a pastor before I got through this town. That's all I'm talking about. I'm talking about when we can do it. When we can do it. When we can do it. Let's do it. Let's be a testimony for Jesus Christ. Amen. Glorify Him in your life as a child of God. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Again tonight, Brother Mike, you ask us every night. I know, just... humor me just a little bit. Have you been saved? If you say you've been saved, I say praise the Lord. You don't have to put up your hand. But if you haven't been saved, I'd love to see your hand up so I can pray for you. Anybody at all that said, Brock, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure that I have been saved by the grace of God. Anybody at all? And I'll pray for you. I don't see any hands. Second question says, Mike, would you pray for me? I'm already going through some things. Or I see maybe some things on the horizon, and I don't see anything yet, but when it comes, Brother Mike, would you just pray for me that I stand strong and be the witness for Jesus Christ, rejoicing in the tribulation, the difficulty, and the hardship, to bring honor and glory to God in my life. How about it right now? Upraise hands. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. You can put them down. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Stand our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, I thank you, Father, for tonight. I thank you for the freedom that you have given me in this pulpit. I thank you for Pastor Rice, Father. I thank you for this church, Lord. Father, I know that people look around in it. If they visit sometimes, they might say, man, it's a small church. I'd rather be small and do something for God than be big and do nothing for God. Father, thank you so much for helping us. Help us to keep our eyes upon you when the persecutions come, when the trials come, when the tribulations come in our life, Father. Help us to do right. Father, when people laugh at us, make fun of us, Father, help us to do right. Help us to stand strong and be a witness for you. And we give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God spoke to your heart tonight. Why don't you slip out and come to the altar right now. You sit in the front pew or you can get down on your knees, whatever you want to do. Just give it to the Lord. You know what you need to ask Him. You know what you need to tell Him. Just ask Him and tell Him. Let Him have His way. Let Him do what He wants to do. Let Him have all the honor and all the glory.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my Blessed Savior, I surrender all. Praise the Lord. Appreciate the message tonight. Let's close with this song. 216 in our songbooks. When we see Christ, it will be worth it all. When we see Jesus. 216 in our songbooks. Oft time the days seem long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch His bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the house. You're dismissed. Back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock.